BFBS. I'm Jason Webster, I'm 25 and a presenter for BFBS in the Falkland Islands. As you've probably heard, the conflict in the Falklands is celebrating its 30th year anniversary. Now, this happened in 1982. I wasn't born till 1986 though. It does make me think a couple of questions, like, why am I here? Or, do I even care about the conflict? Does anyone even care anymore? I'm 8,000 miles away from home talking to people every day where a war happened 30 years ago, and I wanted to find out if people in other jobs felt the same way, so I decided to get in touch with military and some locals who are in kind of the same situation as me, where they weren't alive when the war was on, and maybe help me even get some answers. So I thought I'd talk to Captain Craig Graves. He's an officer responsible for organising one of the battlefield tours here in the Falklands.
My job here, I work in the headquarters, and perhaps I'm not as busy as a great number of people, and I have a number of secondary duties, and one of them is to take that battlefield tour.
Yeah.
And there are four other similar young officers in the main who take people around the other prominent battles from the war. It's quite a privilege to take people around, in my case, Goose Green, and try as best I might to explain how the battle between Tupara and the Argentine Mountain Regiments went down there.
Do we ever get a chance to go to any of
the
others?
I go and visit the others for my own interests, but I don't conduct a tour of those. Yeah, and I was forewarned by my predecessor in my post that I would be taking people out there, so I started to do a lot of reading before I deployed here.
But do you have to keep boning up in it quite a lot while you're down here?
Or? I do, and I keep bumping into people, including veterans and locals and otherwise interested staff here at MPA who can chip in a bit of information that I didn't already have, and I build that into what I pass on to others who come out with me.
Being from the UK, what did you think about the Falklands before you came down?
Well, I have an interesting relationship with the Falklands in that I'd always known it existed since I was a child, purely because my father came here. He was in the REMI, the Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers, and he was the warrant officer of the Royal Engineer Maintenance Section in 1991, when I would have been just about 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So I remember him coming down here and learning that there had been a war gone on in later years to rub shoulders with paras, marines and other folk who fought here, heard their stories. And so when I learned that I was coming down, I was actually chuffed to be going to see where it all happened.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, my dad's been down here before, and he told me a bit like what it was like when he came down here. But, I mean, from other people, what was your image of the place from what they told you?
A bit desolate, a bit windswept. I was expecting something a lot more austere than what I have found. Mm-hmm. I thought that the small farming communities and Stanley would be not the modern, well-supported, quite decent infrastructure, not dissimilar to what we'd find in rural areas of the UK.
Yeah.
You type it into Wikipedia or Google and you get images from the 80s and you get images that people like to see, not perhaps the modern vibrant place that it is in areas today.
I was then quite keen to talk to someone who wasn't in the military, so I talked to Zoe Jagelman. She's a teacher here at the school MPC, and I was curious to find out how working here differs from working in the UK.
It's got similarities and differences, to be honest. I came from teaching in a school in rural West Cumbria, so the actual size of the school, we've got about 35 children, is very similar to the size of the school I came from. But we're obviously very isolated over here. The children are here for a year to 18 months, 2 years, and they come and go at fairly regular intervals. So every few weeks, someone will leave or someone will arrive, and that's taken some getting used to. But to all intents and purposes, we are a British school. We follow the national curriculum and we teach as if we were in England. But we also try and make the most of being down here. It's a fabulous place to learn about and to be living in. Especially the children that I teach, age 7 to 11, the wildlife that they can go out and see is just so unusual, and we try and make the most of that in our teaching. What we have been able to do here is go to places like Government House, which if you think of sort of the equivalent in England, you would never really get to take a school trip round somewhere like that.
We went down the Downing Street.
Yeah, so. Which just wouldn't happen, especially not from Cumbria. And we went and met the editor of the Penguin News, and they gave us their time and talked to us. So opportunities like that have been superb, really. So we try and make the most of being down here, and also try and sort of make up for being down here and try and make sure that the children are staying linked to the UK and understand what they're going back to as well, so they don't get sort of out of touch with England.
What extra research did you have to do before you came down here? Did you ever do anything like that, or just to kind of learn more about the past of like the Falklands, like about the war and stuff?
Yeah, so before applying for the job, I spoke to almost nobody about it. I just sort of went for it, and then once I discovered I'd got the job and I was coming, I thought I'd better find out a bit more about where exactly I was going.
Yeah.
So my vicar at home had been down here in 1982. Mm. So he got his box of photos out and showed me pictures of Stanley then, and talked all about it. He was here for quite a while after the conflict. But actually, although lots of people seemed to know somebody had been down, or there seemed to be a lot of connections with the place, very few people had obviously actually visited here, because it's so expensive to get here.
Did you notice that when you came down as well? Because I noticed this a lot. You know when you're just about to come down here and you're saying, oh yeah, I'm going to the Falklands, do you notice how many people that have like some type of past thing with the Falklands as well?
Yeah, it's sort of split into two camps. They've either got like a brother's cousin, something or other, that had been down here or had worked here or was based here, or they've got no idea where it is. There seem to be sort of one extreme or the other.
Yeah. You're 8,000 miles from home. Do you sometimes think, what am I doing down there? Being here for something that happened, you know, something that happened 30 years ago.
It's quite hard to imagine, and it's what's been staggeringly hard to picture is the thousands of Argentine troops that were here. Mm-hmm. And just imagining there being 15,000 people on these islands.
No, yeah.
You know, there's about 3,000 now. That's really hard to sort of picture going about the place.
Yeah, could you imagine being here then? That'd been crazy.
It must have been bizarre being in Stanley, and it's and just aside from all the fighting, the number of people that were here. You sort of sit there and you think, well, I'm a good 18 hours from home. It's gonna, you know, you can't just pop home. Everything's got to be planned well in advance. But at the same time, you can just go on the internet and Skype home. It's bizarre how close you can feel as well.
Yeah.
And I guess in communication with England has increased hugely in the last 30 years. That must be very different for people that are here.
Did you think about that before you came down? I mean, how did you feel? Were you a bit worried about coming down? Because you thought, oh, I'm not going to talk to my family for 6 months. Or did you always know there'd always be a way?
I think because the knowledge that technology was in place down here and it was going to be easy to phone and use the internet, I wasn't too worried about that. My younger brother went away for a year in his gap year and was out of sort of telephone and email contact totally for a good 6 months, and you know, he survived. But you know, if you can just pick up the phone to somebody or go on Skype, they're suddenly a lot closer. And yeah, it's hard that you can't go home necessarily when there's something going on that you want to be at home for, but that's the nature of being quite so far away. And the balance of that is that it's an amazing place to live.
Yeah, I mean, like, how does it like affect you being down here, kind of, for in the way of like the people you're teaching down here and the people that you're talking to?
I think I love working in small schools. I really enjoy that sense of community where you know all the children in the school and you know a lot of the parents as well. So as far as I'm concerned, the school that I'm working in is kind of ideal as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And living here is pretty good as well, you know. We're looked after very well living here.
Yeah.
That's quite a bonus. So there's plenty of positives to make up for the fact that you're quite so far away.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing being somewhere like this and being able to get out in the countryside and experience penguins and sea lions.
Definitely, yeah.
It's just, It's amazing how quickly you become a bit sort of blasé about it.
I know, yeah. Like, I remember when I first got down there, I was like, oh, amazing penguins. And now it's like, there's another penguin. Big deal.
You know, it's incredible the places you can get to really quite easily and see incredible things. And as someone that enjoys being outside and taking photos, that's just a real luxury to have all of that right on your doorstep.
A lot of the stuff that's gone on now, especially being the 30th anniversary, I've noticed that the stuff you're seeing on the telly isn't 30 years old guys going through some horrible weather and stuff like that. Some of it over, say, Christmas time, it was nice and sunny, and it was good stuff.
There's been a lot of the Falklands now, hasn't there? It's not just been reruns of news footage from 30 years ago, and I think that can only be good for the place.
So what about Zoe's pupils at the Mount Pleasant Primary School? They're young. I thought I'd talk to them. I spoke to Aidan and Josh just to see how they felt about coming to the Falklands.
When my dad said we might be coming here, I was like, where's the Falklands? I'd heard vaguely of it, but I was like, where on earth is it? And then when I came down here, I was like, it's all the way down here.
Long way away.
When I was in school, we were talking about places. I think we did in history, Egypt. We would have never learnt about this. I'd learnt about some elephant seals, but never learnt about the Falklands. I felt quite sad because I'd had brilliant friends at my school, and I went to a football club and I played in defence, and I was really happy doing that. So in some ways I didn't want to come here, but then when my dad told me there's loads of wildlife and seals and penguins, I was like, I really want to go, I really want to go.
Are you happy about being down here now?
Yeah.
Cool. How do you feel when you got told to get?
It feels a bit strange, as my dad's been down here for his fifth time now, and he's always gone by himself, but when I heard about he was going down again, I thought he was just going to choose to go down by himself again. But then my mum told me that we're all going down, and I heard it, a conversation about her and dad telling that about outside. And they decided we're all going. I felt real sad and excited because I thought, well, I'm going somewhere else. But then we're going to miss all my friends because we see the school website. It's very small. It looked very boring. There wasn't any climbing frame then. But once we got here, it felt a bit better.
Well, I've talked to the military kids about it. I might as well talk to some of the local kids as well. I thought they must have a good opinion about it. I mean, they are the future of the Falklands. So I popped down to the school in Stanley and talked to Amber, Louise, Matthew, Daniel and Jack, because I was wondering what they'd think the place would be like if a war hadn't happened 30 years ago.
Probably still be the same amount of people as there is here now, but probably pretty scarce. People would still think we're just a little island off the coast of Scotland. But we aren't.
I don't think anybody would know who we were and like what we were, because this is basically the only time we ever get noticed in the world, really, because a friend in England of mine had never heard about the war, and she thought we lived in igloos, so we probably would not be known as much as we are right now.
Like Nan and Grandad, they always say that how there were so little people and how everybody knew everybody and everybody knew everything about everybody and everybody lived together and did things for each other. And I think as everyone started to find out about here and like we expanded, I think more people came down and it's changed, but I guess in a good way, because you've got to change with the times.
Obviously you've learned a lot from families. Is it just from families, or has it been from like news and stuff like that, or what type of stories has your family told you?
It's mostly from your family, but then you go out and people will tell you things and you see things in the news, and then you go and ask and they tell you more stories and go on and on forever and ever. But it's, mostly from grandparents and parents.
Does it sometimes feel like it's kind of not really reality, like especially when you see like how it's like now? It's quite a nice day, it's pretty cold, but it's all right day out there, and you just think, did this really happen?
Yeah, because it just looks so like it's been like this for ages, and it doesn't feel like anything has happened really bad down here. And when you see like
the videos and hear about people saying that it was just along the street that we walked down every day, it feels kind of weird to know that that happened.
Because it was a while before you were born, so do you really care about it in that way?
I think we definitely care about it with all the emotions running high, and people still get really emotional about what happened, and I think you kind of feel for your family because you've heard all the stories and you're so close to them, and you never wanted that to happen to you or anybody in your family, but you got to accept it did and just got to roll with the punches and accept that it happened.
Just the thought of soldiers from different countries laying down their lives to fight for us, it's quite sad.
I think it would be important to everyone down here for ever, even when it's 60 years or a long time, because it was something that happened here, and but we're still British, and so everyone's going to think about that quite a bit, and it's never going to really fade off or anything.
Just being there with everyone that's been, who's here in the war, and all the veterans, mm-hmm. you do get quite emotional and feel like it was you who were there in the war, and yeah, it is sort of quite a big part of our lives.
Do you sometimes feel like, when you talk about what this place is like, do you sometimes they may think that it's a bit of a novelty place?
I think we get quite a fair amount of opportunities, but it's different here with a lot of different experiences that you probably wouldn't get in the UK. You probably think they could get bored pretty quick here, but by what other people say, I think here makes up for like all the shopping centres and that type of stuff. You go over there and you enjoy it a lot, but here it's always nice to come home and it's different in a good way. And then, I know, it's just home. It's much better.
There's a large military presence down here, so I talked to one of the younger guys, Del Peach. He's in the early stages of his six-month tour, and I wanted to know what he thought about being sent down here.
I quite enjoy it here. I enjoy my job. The facilities are really good here. Yeah, it's an all right place, but from the weather.
What do you do here?
I mainly deal with MT in Seamus. I'm just motor transport. I look after the Land Rovers, make sure they get serviced on time and things, and drive people about.
What do you think it would be like if you had to do that in the UK?
Well, obviously it's a lot colder here. Like, it's a bit harder to look after the wagons, and you have to drive a lot more carefully, like, because it's very icy out there, mm-hmm. and it's really windy, so obviously safety is a big thing. Like,
how did you feel when they said, right, you're heading to the Falklands?
I wasn't too bothered, really, because I've been in Germany for 3 years, so... You know, I'm used to being away from my family and stuff. I still talk to them on the phone, so it's not too bad. Still, you know, speak to my family and everything, so it doesn't affect me too much. I know I'm going to see them anyway in 5 months. So.
From the age of 16, students are encouraged by the government to go to sixth form and uni in the UK in the hope that they'll return one day. And I want to know what it is that makes them want to come back. So I popped down to Stanley and talked to Michael and Nadia to see if they could give me some answers.
You know, family obviously is a big draw. Wherever your family live, you feel at home naturally. Work-wise, for me personally, you can get opportunities to do things down here at quite a young age that you probably wouldn't in the UK. You can really progress quite quickly and get involved in quite high-level kind of political stuff that you wouldn't if you're working in London or Manchester or something like that.
Being back over here, do you feel like you're ever missing out with stuff that's going on in the UK?
You do. You know, clearly, it's a great place to live. There's a lot to do in terms of kind of sports and outdoor pursuits and that kind of thing. If you want to go surfing or, you know, jet skiing, whatever you might be into, there's lots of opportunities here. But clearly, it is only a small community. It would be about 3,500 people or something. There's no major live sporting events, no big concerts. And you do see all this stuff advertised, see it on TV, and you think, oh, I wouldn't mind being there to do that. But
yeah. But
it's still, you know, it's living anywhere in the world, you're missing out on something, aren't you?
For a young person, say I just got here, like it's my first day, what am I going
to
do?
I think you definitely got to get out over to West Falklands. There's completely different way of life to how things happen in Stanley. There's loads going on, loads of places to go see.
Yeah, you're here during the summer season, so you have penguins, whales, you can really see whatever you can imagine wildlife-wise. Yeah. And, you know, it's a real draw. And in terms of being in Stanley for a couple of days, you know, just dropping into one of the pubs or restaurants, we're such a friendly, welcoming community that you can make friends easily and that people will show you around and help you out.
Yeah, so what do you think about the guys down at MPA then? In it being a deterrent, do you reckon, how long do you reckon that will last there before it's not needed anymore?
It's still needed now and it will be for quite some time, I'm sure. Well, until Argentina drops their claim, effectively.
I don't think we can put a timescale on that at all. It's really up to Argentina and when they're going to kind of drop their claim against the islands and let us kind of get on with how we want to work things here. And we're going to need the guys at MPA for as long as Argentina continue to make a claim on the islands.
without them, things probably wouldn't be the same here, and the threat of, I don't want to say invasion as such, would probably be more likely if we didn't have the deterrent and the support from the UK.
What's the future for you guys? Do you think that you would go back to the UK, or is this home for you now?
It's very much home for me. You know, all my family are here. I plan to stay here for the rest of my life, effectively. Certainly, the odd holiday to UK or to South America always helps. You get a bit stir-crazy in such a small place. But, yeah, I plan to stay here and work here.
For long-term, this is home, and I wouldn't think of living anywhere else.
Obviously, the internet is a massive help now. But if that wasn't there, I mean, what do you think it would be like in getting stuff? Would you feel very secluded in that way?
I think so. Just the internet provides a link to friends and family who live out of the islands, and shopping and daily news. Just the little things that I think without them you'd feel really secluded and probably a little bit lonely. And it really does help living here and makes it that little bit easier.
I managed to catch up with Sharon Holford at the Government House to find out what she thought the future had in store for the Falklands. And I thought if I was asking her, I might as well see what everyone else thought as well.
We have to be conscious of the youth, because they are the ones that are going to take the Falklands forward into the future. Many of our youngsters can actually look at what contract officers are doing, for example, and say, hey, I think maybe I'll train up and see if I can do that in the future. There are all those opportunities. We have oil on the horizon now, or the prospect of it, and that will open up many opportunities as well. And there are just so many other opportunities in other areas of business. I think at the moment, given the world climate, then I think we're very lucky down here in this little corner.
I foresee some changes ahead, particularly with changes to the structure of the UK armed forces. They're probably going to see more of us training down here because it presents a unique challenge to us. They're probably going to see greater income from rights to the mineral and other resources, oil and natural gas, that are being and may yet to be discovered in their territorial waters.
With tourism and everything, there is like every day in the summer there's basically a cruise ship down here, so it's got to have some it's got to be really good some way or another, because they must be spending quite a bit of money down here.
There are different elements to kind of economic development in the islands and how the place is going to be made up. Obviously, there's been a lot of coverage of oil, which I think generally we're all pretty positive about. But yeah, we want to do it in the right way. It needs to be properly managed, properly regulated, make sure all the environmental controls are in place and such. And, you know, and make sure that we kind of learn from best practice around the world and not make some of the mistakes that have been made elsewhere. And tourism is only going to grow. I think we've got a unique environment here that we're looking to develop. And obviously fishing, we hope, is a completely sustainable future resource that, you know, our kids will be kind of, you know, funding, public funding with in 50, 100 years' time.
Young people 5 years ago to now have changed so dramatically, and there's so much more in-house training and online and management and kind of progression throughout FIG and outside of. So even in the last 5 years, things have changed so much. It would always be the same for me. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
So my time talking to the youth of the Falklands is up. I've talked to military and civilians at Mount Pleasant Complex, and even gone to Stanley and had a chat with young people down there. Talking to people 30 years on after the conflict has made me see that people being sent down here to work were apprehensive at first, but quickly started to enjoy it here. And people that already live here love it so much that when they go away to further their education, they come back. But the thing everyone does agree on is the brightness of the future of this place, and I completely agree. Not only is tourism growing here, but with an expanding fishing industry and oil on the horizon, it could only mean good things for the country. Everyone I've talked to has agreed that a 30th year anniversary has been a good thing. It's helped people remember, but it's also shown how a relatively small country in the South Atlantic can bounce back and achieve great things. At the start of this documentary, I said I wasn't sure how I felt about the place. I had so many different questions that I needed answering, and talking to people down here has made me think I'm not the only one feeling the same way. Before I came down here, I did look at footage of the Falklands, and most of it was from the war 30 years ago, and if I'm completely honest, the place did look a bit bleak. But being down here for the past 11 months has completely changed my perspective on the place. Every year the place does seem to get bigger, and if you do get the chance to come down, definitely give it a go. There is a lot of British patriotism going on at the moment with the Jubilee and the Olympics in London, but I have been impressed with what I've seen here. I've heard a lot of stories from what they've been told from their parents about what it was like here during the war. The military presence is a great thing here, and the locals are still proud to be British 30 years on.
From the Diamond Jubilee to the London Olympics in 2012, we're proud to be British Forces Radio. BFBS.